Seattle Sports Station presents the KJ Wright Show.
The ball is intercepted. KJ Wright reaches up about 13 feet in the air.
Number 15.
Now every Wednesday with Brock and Salk.
How y'all like that?
Brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino.
All right, it is time. KJ's in the building, Brock. He's sitting here. He's ready to go.
Yo.
He's repping the Issaquah Eagles volleyball squad.
There we go.
Let's go. We're on a winning streak.
Oh, yeah?
We're on a winning streak.
How many?
Two, three.
Two.
It's pretty good.
They're playing better.
They are playing better.
It's good.
Yeah.
Seahawks offense playing better, too.
Yes.
What'd you think? Why was their offense? Why did it just start clicking?
Outstanding performance by those guys. I love the balance. Great runs, great play actions. Geno was very efficient, as he's been all season. And you just look at the chemistry between him and Shane Waldron. These guys are in sync with the style of plays they want to run, getting the ball out quick. Geno going to get you out the pocket. And to put up that many yards and zero punts? Zero? None. First time in history? That was beautiful to see on offense. 48 points. I know they played the Lions, but still it's the NFL. Great job by those guys.
I think you have been part of the Geno Smith fan club. I think
KJ's the first person I heard say Geno was going to start. He told me that in the offseason. He said Geno's going to start for the Seahawks, and I laughed at him.
Here's somebody that maybe wanted Baker Mayfield. Maybe somebody wanted Jimmy G. Maybe somebody wanted other quarterbacks, and there was KJ all the way along. KJ all the way along planted your flag right there with Geno Smith. Why?
Because I saw him. I was his teammates for years. And you look at the man, you look at the way he even came in the building as a backup. He prepared like he was a starter. I faced him several times in 2 minute drill. I'm like, Geno can play some dang football. This man is good. He's going through his progressions, making all the right reads, getting out the pocket, bombing it downfield. I saw the man grow over the years, and he got that opportunity. Hey, Geno, Russ is out the building. We're not going to draft anyone. We're not going to bring in a Jimmy G. We're not going to trade for anyone. We're going to hand this team over to you. A little competition with Drew Lock, but if you want it, go get it. And he's been absolutely phenomenal thus far.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because it's not what, you know, for the most part we had heard about Geno, right? I mean, he had trouble when he was in New York, and some of the stories that we had heard were not as flattering. When he came into the games, he struggled a little bit, even in preseason action. The Geno Smith that we've seen through the first four games of this season does not look to me like the guy we had gotten a chance to see. Why was it so different for you?
It's growth. He was in New York. It was not pretty in New York, but you come to a great environment. You get the Coach Carroll effect. You know, Coach Carroll just have a way with bringing the best out of guys, and you just bring out the best in him. You give him the confidence, like, hey, this is your offense. Hey, we're going to surround you around weapons. Hey, we're going to draft linemen in the first round, surround you around plenty of talent, and you don't have to do it all by yourself, Geno. You don't have to do it by yourself. And let me remind you, this is Geno Smith's contract year. Do they invest in this man? I know it's early. Give him a few more games, but let's see how the season ends. And if this is a guy that we can say, hey, we can win with Geno Smith, I believe the Seahawks should definitely look into that.
Okay, so what is sustainable then, KJ, with him? You've got four games now. He was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. He's number the three passer in the NFL in efficiency. He's number one in accuracy, 77% completion. I guess twofold. Number one, what is sustainable? And now with four games of tape of him running this offense with Shane Waldron, how do you expect the Saints and defenses to get after him?
I believe what is sustainable is just keep it going. I mean, you've done it. You've seen it. You have the confidence. You have the chemistry with your guys. Hey, take it 1 week at a time. Ignore the noise because you're getting the player of the week. Everybody's saying, we love you, Geno. You're so awesome. We're so glad Russell's gone. Ignore all of that. You're not hearing any of that. You got to have the same hunger that you had. You got to have the same mentality. I'm a freaking backup. I'm mad. I want to play. You have got to perform each and every week because as soon as you slip up, they'd be like, he's not the guy that we wanted. Let's do something else. And so keep that mentality going.
Well, he should listen to this show. I'll find a way to keep him humble if I absolutely have to. No, I think it's I think the question with Geno, your question is a good one. Do you invest in him in the offseason? Maybe. And I'm not saying you don't, but I can't make that determination until I see him come up with a game-winning drive, et cetera, late in games. He hasn't really been called upon to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's such a huge part of what it is to be a starting quarterback. What do you mm-hmm. do in the final few minutes?
But you know what's crazy to me? I sat there and watched some quarterbacks last year sit on the bench for 16 games.
Yeah.
And get a starting job. A team is looking like, oh, let's go get Mr. Trubisky. Let him be our guy.
Well, sort of.
How does
he got a few games before they brought in their rookie. He played 3.5 games.
I'm saying he sat on the bench last year in Buffalo.
And he's going to sit on the bench the rest of this year.
But why would a team bring a guy in that sat on the bench to be their starting quarterback?
Because they didn't bring him in to be their starting quarterback. They brought him in to play a few games before they turned it over to their rookie. They brought him in to help tutor the kid and to give the kid a couple of weeks of games.
They gave him a lot of money, man.
What did they pay him?
Don't even look, KJ. It'll just disturb you. Okay,
$14 million.
Woo! 3 years, $14 million?
To ride that pine. Oh, my God.
$14 million a year or 14 total?
Seven. Total. So seven a year.
That's not that much money for a quarterback. What are you talking about? For a quarterback?
And I'm thinking Geno's getting what, vet minimum?
Yes.
And so my question is, when you see what he's putting on this tape, when you see what he's doing with this team, this is winning football. This is winning football. And if the defense does something, if defense just gives them anything, I believe he can play even better.
You want to get to that defense, or you want to wait a few minutes?
Let's wait next segment.
Yeah, let's wait till next. Yeah, because I want to go here. You said earlier that Pete Carroll just has that ability to bring the best out in guys. You had high school coaches, you had college coaches. You largely just played for Pete. You had the situation down in Vegas for one season. How does he do it, KJ? Can you kind of quantify that for me as you look back on your career? How does he get the best out of guys?
Hands down, the best head coach I've ever had. I've had coaches tell me that I wouldn't be good. I've had coaches tell me I wouldn't be able to play D1 football. This man is just someone that just brings out the best of you. He's just so positive. He's just so energetic, and he just sees stuff in you. And what he does great is that he empowers his coaches to also bring out the best in you. Mm. And so he really put me in a position as I grew older to, hey, KJ, you're the guy. The guys need to hear from you. I need this, this, and that from you. And he puts you in a position to flourish, if that makes sense. He has put guys in a position to flourish and just brings out the best of guys. And so I absolutely love the man. That's just one of the many things he does well.
Do you remember a conversation in particular? Is there one, maybe as a young player, Cage? Because there's a lot of young guys on this roster, right? A lot of these young rookies learning on the ropes. Do you remember one particular conversation?
I remember my conversation in my 10th year. This is when I got benched, actually. And he came up to me, put his arms around me. He's like, hey, man, we're just trying something new. We're not going to cut you. He said, we're not going to cut you, but we're just trying to do something. And when he said that, because I thought I was about to get cut in my 10th year going to the training camp. But when he said that, he just assured me and just gave me that sense of calmness. Like, hey, everything going to be okay. We're just trying something different with Jordan. But you're going to be on this football team going forward into your 10th year. And so just the little things that he does to assure you that everything's going to be all right. And that really meant a lot to me when he did that.
Good stuff. KJ Wright is here. I've got two questions that have come in that we definitely need to ask you about. The first, I'll ask you now, and the second in just a minute. Did you or did you not follow Moore's fantasy advice after the show last week? And did it pay off for you?
Oh, I said that now?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely. I won last week. Hey! I won last week. Got my first win. I'm 1-3.
Will you be soliciting more advice from Mora before the day ends?
Yes.
That's what I figured. I need her. Seems fairly obvious.
I need her.
More importantly, and we're going to do
He also had Josh Jacobs finally show up, which I had nothing to do with.
That's fine. Nice job, Mora. We appreciate it. Just take credit. That's okay.
Take credit.
You're the only person in the world who'd ever heard of Romeo, whatever his name was.
Dobbs.
Question two, I need you to answer in a moment. How hard did Bobby hit that dude who was running on the field the other night in L.A.?
He didn't have pads on, Bobby. Why don't you do that, Bobby?
Oh, come. Man. All right, KJ's going to be asked to break that down, and this defense as well. Next, it's KJ Wright on with Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710 this hour, driven by Wayscar Ford.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
All right, KJ is here. What is Bobby doing? He's just taking shots at random people now?
Ooh, that was... I was looking like... First of all, hats off to that dad for a phenomenal gender reveal. That was pretty awesome. That went down one of the best gender reveals that I've seen. But yeah, Bobby's... smacked him.
He hit him pretty good.
He smacked
him. That guy came
and he didn't even. Bobby didn't even get a clean hit on him because his teammate kind of pushed him.
Yeah.
Bobby would have just hit him.
Yeah. Ooh. That'd be it.
Ooh. Night night.
We had some people texting that was Bobby's best hit of the year. I don't know whether that's fair.
Whoa,
but that was a pretty good hit.
Yeah. Don't get disrespectful. Don't get disrespectful. Come on now.
No, there's also people saying that Bobby could be sued. There's some of that
really?
Speculation.
Oh, yeah. You run out on the field, you're fair game as far as I'm concerned.
He feared for his life. I saw smoke. I saw pink smoke.
You run out on the field, I don't care what is done to you. You deserve it.
Hey, KJ, can we do a quick shout out before the other question Saul cast for you? Can you say happy
birthday?
That
was the other question.
Oh, can you say happy birthday to Anthony Thompson?
What? Happy birthday, Anthony Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
Have a phenomenal, phenomenal day.
Yeah. And Jimbo in Ireland, a shout out to you as well. He met you and I, Saul, over in Ireland. So just a couple quick shout outs. That's all. Just do it for the people.
Have a great day. Have a great day.
Hey, KJ, what happened defensively in Detroit Sunday?
What happened? Same story. Unfortunately, this is another game where it was another one over 100 yards rushing. Way too many explosive plays. I look at my guys, play action, explosive plays, sudden change. That's what really got me. The first sudden change that happened. Tyler fumbled the ball. Okay, defense, sudden change. And when that happens, you get together, everyone gets on the same page. But they scored the very first play, explosive to the same tight end that the 49ers ran, touchdown. And so I just look at a group of guys that haven't quite, they're not communicating how I want them to. They're not stopping the run how I want them to. And it's just, unfortunately, the same story.
Did they do anything new? I mean, we talked a lot last week about schematic changes. Pete mentioned that they did, what did he say? They mixed things up a little bit more in their front. Did you see anything different?
I didn't see that at all. I saw Boye play a little more. I liked that. I saw him play more, but scheme-wise, I saw the same stuff. I saw the same front. I saw the same two high safeties. I saw the same blitzes. And I saw the same getting beats on the same runs. So in my eyes, it was the same thing.
A little bit less of their bare front, maybe. I mean, is that fair, KJ? The three, and some of that's obviously Detroit's personnel.
Mm-hmm.
But could you at least say, hey, it's a little bit less than putting Puna in a position to just have to tangle with a guy and not be aggressive? Was there a little less of that?
A little bit less. I wanted to see more of it. Like, man, you got to utilize their skill sets. Utilize these guys' skill set. And it's just, I saw the power play. And this play scares me. The New Orleans Saints, if they don't run this play on the Seahawks, they are freaking out of their mind. The gap schemes, just down, kicking out. They had like about three or four explosive plays on that. And so safeties, if they're going to play that, the safeties have got to come downhill and make the tackles. If they do not, it's going to continue to get scary for the Seahawks defense.
When you say down, kick out, that means two linemen block down?
Yeah,
right?
Well, for your front side linemen, they block down, backside guard kicks out, and they're trying to hit the vertical seam.
Right, and that's
a power play. They're trying to hit the vertical seam.
Power scheme.
Yep, and what happens if you don't have enough guys in the box, what the offense is doing is they're creating an extra gap. Mm. And we don't have enough guys in the box to stop their run. So what the Seahawks defense have to do is, if you don't have enough guys, somebody has to beat a block. Yeah, take a block, shed, and make the tackle, and give the safety time to get down there and make the tackle.
Oh, man, my Twitter was pretty busy Sunday. Even my text with a few of my football buddies saying, what is going on with these linebackers, KJ? And what is going on with Cody shedding blocks, as you said, making some tackles, safety? Josh Jones missed two more tackles. How about the play at the second level?
It's they got to play better. They got to play better from an awareness standpoint. That's first, like, I'm not looking at these guys. You got to look to your left side, look to your right side. And when a play happens, you got to see how they're trying to attack you. The touchdown that got me, it's the same play that the 49ers scored on you. It's the same play. So a light bulb has got to click in your brain. Oh, something is up, and I got to be able to take this away. When it comes down to defeating linemen and defeating blocks, you can't just go in there with your shoulder like, hey, coach, I'm fitting up the play. No, that's not cutting it. You have got to put your face into his face, shock him, shed him, and make a play. And so those two things, the awareness and just defeating blocks, to just, you got to be the guy. You got to man up, defeat this lineman and make the play to keep these running backs from getting so many yards.
Brock, the best part of listening to KJ talk about what you do on defense, he kind of closes his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you can see he's in the moment. I mean, he's picturing himself and how you have to get that
done.
You got to
do it.
Salk, you shock him and you shed him.
Shock and shed.
That's all you got to do?
That's it, man.
Easier said than done.
Sounds easy. I mean, it's not like the other guy in the other team is a 330-pound offensive lineman coming at you and running 4.8 or something like that.
Hey, man oh man, who's the best man?
Yeah.
Shock him and shed him. You know, as you say that, KJ, I think about young quarterbacks, and I remember that play coming into the headset and going, okay, can I just call the play right? Right. And then after I call the play right, do I actually know what the play is? Right. It's like learning organic chemistry or something. Like, okay,
yeah.
Now I can write it. I can kind of see it, but then ultimately, man, can the game slow down so I can see what the defense is doing?
Yeah.
Like, there's these processes for a quarterback. It sounds like it's the same thing defensively. Okay, here's the call.
Yep.
I know the call. I know what my job is supposed to do.
Yep.
But now you got to broaden your vision to
Absolutely.
What that opponent is doing.
Absolutely. And when a call comes in the headset, you have to be like, okay, what's my job on this play? What's my run fit? What's my pass fit? Boom, I got that down. Now the play happens. Okay, what's going on? Is it quick game? Or what's the formation? Is it empty? Is it a play action? Are the linemen coming at me? There's so many things happening. You have to process that right now in a second. And I just want the awareness. I want the game to slow down for my guys.
Well, out of 11 guys right now, Quandre's got the experience to do that.
Yep.
Big Al Woods, you highlighted last week, he's got the experience
Jordan Brooks
to
needs
do that.
To. At this point, this is his third year playing regularly in this league. I'm sorry. Yep. That's
new
enough
spot.
Time.
New spot.
He's a Mike linebacker.
Yeah, it's a new position, green dot.
And what gets me the most, Brock, is that one of my coaches in the Raiders taught me this last year. And I wish that I could, you know, get this in these guys' brains, that when the ball is snapped, he uses terminology called pop-pop. Pop-pop. And when the ball is snapped, you pop-pop your feet really quick. You don't go up. You don't go back. What I'm seeing with my guys is any play action, they taking two, three steps forward and panicking back.
Hmm.
Just settle down. Pop-pop your feet. React and see what the heck is going on, and then play football from there. That will help slow the game down for these guys so they could see what is happening around them.
Brock's taking notes.
You know what I'm realizing?
He's taking notes.
Hey, you better watch TCU Kansas Saturday because you're going to hear some shock and shit. You got to shock and shit.
Pop-pop.
You got to pop-pop.
Brock, go watch the Indianapolis Colts defense. If you could watch those guys.
Watch them tomorrow night, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, watch those guys
They're
tomorrow.
They're playing Denver.
Watch their linebackers. I bet you every single play, those guys are pop-popping their feet.
Who's the coach?
Richard Smith was my linebackers coach last year. Richard Smith coached Ken Norton Jr. when he was with the 49ers.
Whoa.
And full circle, this man was my coach last year. And so very military style. He nitpicked every single thing. This man drove me crazy. I'm like, coach, this is my 11th year in the NFL. You don't have to tell me this every single time. And if I haven't done it by week 10, I'm probably not going to do it next week either. So when I say this man nitpicking drove me crazy, I would go home like, babe, this coach, oh my God. I love him, phenomenal coach, but the man was every single play. Hands here, eyes here, feet here. I'm not a rookie, coach. But anyway, make a long story short, my linebackers need to get better.
All right, that is the great KJ Wright. We spent another half hour or so with him. We got a lot more questions. I want to play you some Pete sound from this week and get your reaction to that. Also, if you do have questions, you can text them in. Ask KJ, hashtag Ask KJ.
No, we have Brock tickets to give away, too.
And
right?
We've got tickets. So when we come back, I'll ask you a question about something KJ has already said. If you've been listening, you got a pretty good shot of winning those tickets. So stick around. It's Brock and Salk with KJ Wright, Seattle Sports on 710.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
All right, you want the question, Brock? Your chance to win tickets to see the Seahawks hosting the Cardinals. October 16th at Lumen Field. You got to have been listening. You got to listen closely. And you got to call. Don't text. I'm not giving this to some texter. You got to call.
Jeez.
These are the rules, man. I don't set them up.
They're
just the rules.
Salt.
Yeah, that's right.
Gosh.
Who was the linebacker coach that KJ said drove him crazy last year, teaching him to pop, and amongst other things?
Remind you, I loved him. He was a great coach.
But he drove you crazy.
He drove me crazy.
Yeah. So who was that coach? Give me his name and be the first person to do so. At 866-979-3776, and you go see the Seahawks and Cardinals on October 16th at Lumen Field. How about that? Can I play some Pete sound, KJ?
Let's do it.
All right. Here's Pete.
This is always fun.
Pete was in kind of a fun, feisty mood after his win on Sunday. So we talked to him on Monday. And, we were giving some grief to Tater. Here, you can listen.
Oh, no.
Brock had said, is Tater distracted? Because, you know, Tater's a huge, huge Mariner fan. So Brock was worried that Tater was distracted with the baseball. And then I said he seemed distracted, kind of a tough day with a few bad challenges that the Seahawks had thrown out there. And Tater's sort of in charge of that. And Pete came to the defense of his guy.
Oh, no. Those were competitive moments. I mean, you guys, I don't care about the freaking timeouts when I'm battling like that.
I know. You're well aware that you don't care about.
You
the
never
timeouts.
Know the magnitude of that. The one we did on the fake punt. I know I'm gonna kill for this, but I don't care. The magnitude of that play. If maybe there was something, they show no replays. That it had nothing to do with Tater. Get a chance. They did not show a replay of it that we could see. So you know, I just had to say I guessed. You know, and I just said screw it. And I didn't care.
Wow.
Why does Pete not care about timeouts?
So Tater is responsible for the challenges.
He's the only voice in Pete's head.
He's the other set of eyes up in the booth that's looking at the TV.
Is
and
that a good idea?
Replays.
Should Tater be in charge of that?
Tater's a very smart guy, and but if Tater told him to challenge that punt,
no, he did not. It turns out it was just
okay,
a guess.
Okay.
Tater's
okay.
off the hook for this one.
Okay, good. But
it wasn't just
that
a guess.
That was Pete saying, screw it.
Yeah, Pete just said, the heck with it. I'm going for it.
Here,
KJ.
He gave us a little more on the second challenge.
Yeah, the other one, it's 208 or whatever it was, yes. You know, left. I got one shot and we'll throw it. What the hell? You know, I just checked it again. I'm not really worried about that percentage, you know. If the percentage was really good, then I would like think it's a big thing. But since it's, I look at it entirely differently. But the way it's going, I'm off to a kind of crappy start here. So.
I guess if you got the flags, just use them. Use the challenge flags.
My issue is Pete was just having fun, but his timeout usage is bizarre. Mm-hmm. That has been like my only real criticism and like long running problem with the way the Seahawks have been run for the last decade is in the second half. Pete does not seem to value those timeouts at all
because
and it seems like when you play close games, they'd be pretty darn important
when you need them. And you don't have them,
yeah, you
and
lose.
You essentially waste them. They could come back and bite you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so he needs to get that figured out. You guys would ever talk about? Like, did anybody ever think about that? Or you're like, yeah, whatever.
No, we would
business.
Look like coach. Why would you challenge that? Like, bro, he clearly caught the ball. You're wasting time here. Let's get this thing going. That's a catch. Let's move on.
But does that not perfectly just encapsulate him?
I mean, that's his style. Yeah. Free spirited guy. Hey, what the heck? If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
And jokes aside, does that allow you to play that way? I mean, do you guys pick up on that energy?
We picked up on his personality, yeah, free spirit. Like, sometimes it'll be a play where I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to blitz, but I see something. Let me go shoot my gun, and I make a play.
Yeah.
And so he just gives you that free range, just give you that, hey, if you see something, I trust you, KJ.
So what happens if it doesn't work? What happens if you see something, you think, and mm-hmm. you do blitz, and you're not supposed to, and they burn you for a touchdown?
If it doesn't work, it's obviously bad. But if it works, it's obviously good.
But what happens if it doesn't? I mean, do you get yelled at?
What's the ramifications
of that?
What Coach Carroll's famous words, like, don't make stuff up. Don't make stuff up. If you do something and that's something that we don't coach, he'll use the terminology, don't make stuff up. He'll use a different word, but you know what I mean.
Well, that segues perfectly, KJ, into this other piece mm-hmm. of sound to play. Because for a decade, you had a quarterback that at times, beautifully, by the way, made stuff up. You know, Salt called him a wizard in the wizardry plays. You said to us a couple weeks ago, your favorite was the one down in Arizona where he spins out and just throws to Doug. Like, how in the world? And that was made up. That was creativity. Here was Pete with us just a couple days ago talking about the QB position and now having a guy that's running it just the way it's called.
Yeah, the question for him specifically was does Geno maybe fit Shane Waldron's system a little bit better than Russ did?
Go back to watching Jared Goff at the Rams. You know, they're kind of similar. Both pocket guys, you know, big, tall, statuesque type guys throwing the ball with the line of scrimmage and all that. Different than what Russell represents. And both guys, and what they would say about Jared is he does what you tell him. He'll do exactly what you tell him. And there's a lot to be said for that, you know, as opposed to you know and you don't know. You know, when guys, you know, are creative and innovating and stuff during the play. Gino's very similar in that he is a real system guy. He gets it. He knows what he's supposed to do. He knows the checks. He knows every bit of it, which gives him great confidence. And when the calls come in, he knows what's supposed to happen. And if we come off the line right and we give him a chance to throw it, he's pretty darn accurate now. And he's off to a fantastic start in that regard. And hopefully we just keep moving.
What do you hear, KJ?
I said the same thing. Gino is Jared Goff 2.0. He's a guy that when he play actions, get the ball out quick. Get the ball out quick. And I knew when Shane came here, I was talking to Sherman. It was like, I don't know how well Russell is going to fit in this system. This is not what Russ does. And I said when Russ left, I said Gino is the perfect fit for this offense. Do what he tells you. Hey, Gino, get this ball out. Gino, do this. Ball should go here. We're going to get it to the tight ends here. Vertical passes down the field. And so perfect fit. I noticed that the chemistry from these two guys are spot on. And I said, Jared Goff is a good quarterback. He was tough. Whenever I faced Jared Goff, he was a tough quarterback to play against. And I see this in Geno, and he's doing the same thing.
So did you find it at times more challenging to play against a quarterback that just, you know, did everything on schedule all the time? Or somebody who could run around, make stuff up, and play creatively?
Well, you could start picking up on stuff. When you like, okay, we're facing a Jared Goff, you could pick up on stuff that he would do.
Tendencies.
Like, tendencies. Okay. We see that he's doing this. Hey, guys, this is the plan of attack going into this week. You cannot prepare for a Russell Wilson scrambling, just throw the ball downfield. The most you could do is teach guys that when he does start to scramble, lock onto your man, keep him in the pocket. But when you have a quarterback like a Jared, like a Geno, you can start to pick up on tendencies. What they do good. Oh, he's getting the ball out quick to the flats. Hey, buzz the defender. Your plan of attack for this game is to buzz the DK. Super buzz is what we call it. Super buzz the DK, super buzz to Tyler. Don't let him get those quick throws outside of the pocket.
It's interesting. It dawns on me that that's probably why Aaron Rodgers has been the consensus best quarterback for as long as he has, just because he seems like he can do both those things.
Yes.
He can be the get the ball out on time guy, and then he can be the play broke down and I need to go do something else.
Was he the most difficult guy, KJ? Who are a few of the most difficult in your dozen years?
Most difficult is obviously Tom Brady. It's not even close.
Why?
It's just so easy for him. It's just so easy for him. There's nothing he can't do. He just looks at the defense and he's just like, oh, I'm going to go here. I've seen this. There hasn't been a blitz I haven't seen. I've seen every coverage. My poise is on 1,000 every time. I'm facing any situation. The comebacks he's made is just absolutely unreal. And so, hands down, the hardest quarterback. And the second is obviously, Philip Rivers. Is a guy that I've always...
You guys always seem to struggle against the Chargers.
Always struggled against them. And what the Chargers did, they flooded the zone. And it's bizarre to me that teams didn't do that against us. We ran a cover three. They would put four people to one side. One, two, three, four. And it forces us to suggest, if we didn't see it, they would have an extra man in our zone. We had three guys. They had four guys. And so they always had a phenomenal game plan against us. And I never beat the Chargers. Never beat them.
I do want to get to some Michael Vick sound talking about Russell this week that kind of made some headlines. But before I do, just football-wise, football 101, you talk about, hey, in this system and facing Jared, you got a super buzz, you got to get out underneath all that stuff. Isn't that advantage then the Seahawks, if that's the plan that others take, because now you've got a run game and you saw Rashad Penny run for almost 150 yards. If you can complement a physical offensive line with a run game with some of that passing game they're doing, this offense should be sustainable, shouldn't it?
They should be very scary. They should be very scary. If I can get that Penny consistently.
That Penny's pretty good.
That Penny. If I can get that Penny consistently, oh my God.
Yeah, don't you? I don't want to hear your shots of Penny.
I need that from him.
Who's taking shots at your Penny?
Nobody messes with my Rashad Penny.
Your Penny love. No one's taking shots.
No one messes with my love for Rashad Penny. He's my guy.
I said this about Penny. What I needed from him those last four games last year, what I saw from him this past Sunday, I need that consistently. You can't come out here and just do a 50, 60-yard game. If you're that guy, be that guy.
So
that's what I need.
I think that they have not used Penny right. That's been my opinion from the beginning. Brock, I hope you can attest to this, that Rashad Penny is not Marshawn Lynch. cannot give him the ball in read option and ask him to accelerate quickly into the line of scrimmage. That's not who he is. He doesn't have that kind of burst. He's just not who he is. If you give him the ball running downhill and allow him to make quick cuts, etc., Rashad Penny is a very good running back. Secondly, you need to be able to allow him to mess up a few times. He's going to run into the line of scrimmage and look bad a few times. But if you continue to have faith in him and not have him as some backup running back who gets four carries a game, he will deliver for you. And guess what? I was 100% right. And you know who told me I was right? KJ Wright, Brock Heward. I'll tell you who told me I was right.
And you know what?
Pete Carroll.
That's really the case now. That's the case. And I'll just tell you that we didn't understand his style well.
Mm-hmm.
We should have. I mean, you think he averaged over 5 yards a carry his whole career, you know, so we should have known that there were the big plays. But there was other plays that just didn't look like, you know, much was happening. And so we had alternatives, and we had a bruising alternative.
He goes on from there, but you get my point.
Brock, why are you chuckling, KJ?
Brock, can we all say that Mike was right? Mike, you were right.
No.
You were right, Mike.
I was right on this.
Justin, go ahead. Start with you, Justin.
Also,
go ahead.
I also wanted, you know.
Salk, you were right.
Thank you.
KJ, go ahead. Say, let me hear it.
You were right, Mike.
Maura, let me hear it.
Nope.
No, my point is just that he's good. You just got to use him the right way.
He is good. And I said this when they played the Falcons. They didn't give him the ball enough. He did good in the first quarter. They just kind of disappeared. Mm-hmm. Give the man his carries, and I believe they can get him on the perimeter more. Get this man on the perimeter more. And you're right, he may run into somebody's back. But keep trusting him. Keep letting him go. And he is a good running back. I just would like to see it more consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I believe that.
And that's off the field. That's just being a professional. That's staying in shape, something that he's talked about, and learning to be a professional. I think when he says that penny, that's what you're talking about. Yeah. All of the aspects to become a pro.
Another guy on his contract year.
Yeah.
Another guy on his contract year. Let's keep it going.
That matters. Hey, Michael Vick made some headlines earlier this week. He jumped on with Colin Cowherd. We talk about, you know, Jared Goff and Geno and playing that way. We watched the Wizard for 10 years here run around like crazy. Here was one of the great scramblers in the history of the league, Michael Vick, talking about Russ.
He's still the greatest. Can we call him the greatest scrambler in the history of the league?
Yeah, that's probably fair, Vic.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson might take that from him.
Yeah, he's closing in.
That's the only person I think I'd be willing to even consider.
Kyler Murray's pretty darn quick, too.
Not the same. Well, KJ shaking his head. No. Not the same?
Not even close.
Lamar's really fast.
Yes.
The acceleration, that's the thing that Vic
and Lamar
have.
Okay, get to Michael Vick.
All right, fine. Sorry.
I think he's aging, and I watch him really, really close, and just his mannerisms, the way he moved, the way he gets outside of the pocket, all the things that we were accustomed to seeing Russell do in Seattle when he was at the height of his career, at his pinnacle. And it's a step slower, you know, because, like I said, I'm watching closely, and it's not the same, you know, spin out of the pocket and maneuver the pocket and make three or four guys miss. It's not looking heroic like it used to be, and that's okay. You know, with time, as you age, you know, you're not going to do the same things effectively. And now he needs a little bit more. Now he needs a running game. Now he needs a receiver that he can rely on. Now he needs some turnovers on defense and those subtle things that happen that can help change the course of the game. And he's just going to need help. It's not going to be easy for him.
At 33... trading 2 firsts, 2 seconds, $165 million guaranteed. They didn't sign up for that yet, did they?
They did, obviously. that's what you're getting. And with age comes, you slow down. That's just Mother Nature. And so like Mike Vick said, he is spot on. He does need a run game. His running backs have not produced, and he just lost his starting guy for the year. He does need more on defense. They got to give him the ball more. And him and Hackett, I'm just looking at these two guys and it's like, something's missing. Something's not clicking. They just need to get there early and just figure out, hey, a solid plan of attack. Because they haven't even gotten to the heart of this division. They haven't even faced the Chiefs, the Chargers. And so it's early, and Russ, you know, he will get better. I do know Russ, he will get better as the season goes on, but these first four or five games is not looking quite right.
You know what might be the thing that's missing there? And I'm maybe going out on a limb here. Chain of command. Because it seems like Russ is the one in charge instead of the head coach, and that seems to be part of the issue there for why it's not working.
You heard what he said last week. It's like, it's all about Russ.
Right.
It's all about Russ. And as a head coach, you cannot say that. You can't say this is about him and everyone else. It won't work.
Hey, so KJ, we got you for a few more minutes. This hour goes entirely too fast. It's frustrating how quickly it goes. But Mariners going to the postseason for the first time in 20 years. We're talking a ton about that. We're going to talk to Logan Gilbert, their pitcher, coming up in 45 minutes at 9:30 this morning. You've obviously been to the postseason any number of times. How did things change for you? What was it like preparing for postseason games or playoff games versus regular season games?
It's just another championship opportunity.
So you thought of them the same way?
Another championship opportunity. You cannot make this moment too big. It's another game. Attack it the same. Have your same routine. Eat the same breakfast. It's going to be a lot more media. We all know that. It's going to be a packed house. We know that. It's a win or go home. And, you know, if you lose two, you're out. And so you got to approach it with the same. You just don't make this moment so much bigger than what you think it is. One of the things I love what Coach Carroll did is when a big game was coming the night before the game, he'll call up a rookie, hey, come stand on this piano. He's like, what? Stand on this piano. And then what he'll do, he'll put a chair on the piano. Stand up on this chair that's on the piano. And what he'll do is like, how you feeling? He's like, is this moment bigger? He was like, no, coach, I'm the same. And so what he'll do is like, I know the stakes may seem higher, but you're still standing on the same piano. And so don't make this moment bigger than what it is. It's the same championship opportunity. Attack it the same way.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Seriously.
I don't know if I want Abe Lucas.
That's what it'll be a small guy. Okay, it'll be a small guy.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, don't make this moment bigger than what it is.
Big Woods, get up on that piano. Let's see what happens. It'll be a strong piano.
What about the venues, right? We had Jeff Passan on last hour with us, and he said Toronto is the loudest, most passionate venue when it comes to playoff baseball in all the major leagues. Isn't that venue a little bit louder? Isn't that intensity ratcheted up a little bit more?
And that's why you want home field advantage. Because when you are on the road, I got to say that the atmosphere can get a little rowdy. Mm. The atmosphere can get a little rowdy. We last year I went to the Bengals. We played in the that year that Cam Newton and them
Carolina,
destroyed us 31-0 in the first half.
Yeah.
Carolina got rowdy, and so 16. You definitely want that home field advantage because the fan base is they do be rocking during the playoffs.
Hey, before I get to where your eyes are going to be in a matchup you can't wait to watch in the Saints and Seahawks, did you ever have a DK experience?
All the time, actually. I had a small bladder, but mine would be like before like kickoff. They happened like before the game.
I don't think his was a bladder thing. I think it was a bigger problem than needing to pee on the sidelines. Sounded like he had a bigger issue.
But no, I would just go. You just go right in the home game. They have a little place where you go. You go into the little tunnel thing.
Oh, really?
But on the road, it gets a little rough.
He took the cart. You ever seen anybody take the cart?
I have not. I have not. And this was the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
That's prime time. What are you doing? If defense gets a turnover, DK, Tyler, get your butts out there.
Do you want him?
Coffee and eats candy all day. That's all he eats. I mean, like, it's not a surprise that at some point he has some sort of stomach issue.
Sheesh.
But he put up 149 yards with a stomach issue.
It's true.
Uh-huh.
Good point.
I have not seen anybody get carted because everybody texts me like DK getting carted off. I'm like, what the heck? What the heck? What happened?
Yep.
I didn't see nothing. I didn't see him get hurt.
He said he couldn't pinch it and hold it all the way there. He had to have the cart assistance.
He should have called Wyman. I bet you Dave would have had some advice for him. This is like right up Dave's alley. What matchup are you looking for? Where are you Seahawks and Saints? We haven't talked a ton about it. Yeah. Kind of an interesting matchup. What are you looking at?
Well, first of all, I'm going to the game. Oh. So I'm going to be watching it from a different angle. I won't have my TV. So I'm going to be at the game. But the matchup I'm looking for is Cam Jordan versus Lucas.
Abe Lucas.
Right tackle versus one of the best defensive ends that this game has seen. And so, Abe, I haven't heard his name get called all season, which is
awesome.
Really good.
He's been great.
Which is really good. And so I want to see him go against a defensive end that's had a really prolific career. And I'm excited to see Lucas because he's doing pretty dang good thus far.
That's I got a good question here from the 253. Why is there a piano at the VMAC? Is it specifically for that lesson from Pete?
Well, we don't have our meetings at the VMAC.
Oh.
And this was not at home. It's always, for some reason, he would do it when it's an away game.
Ah.
It'll never be at home. It's always an away game. And, you know, Coach Carroll plays the piano. I don't know if anyone knows it, but he plays the piano. What? That's like one of his recruiting
tools. We've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, really? When he'll go, if he's recruiting when he's at SC, I heard that he'll go and play the piano. But he'll always be on the road. And if it's a Monday night, Sunday night game, he'll be like, hey, bring that piano in here. bring that piano in here. I got something I'm going to do with the guys. And there would be a moment where he'll try to make it a moment, like, don't make this game too big.
We got a much weirder text that says, why do I envision Salk sitting on KJ's lap doing this interview? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not.
Who said that? Say his name.
360? I don't know their name. I just know their area code. Does that make any sense to you?
No.
What? Would you prefer if we did this interview with me sitting in your lap?
Please,
would that be better for
no.
you?
Please, no. Please,
hey, do we
no.
have a winner, by the way? Did somebody actually get the toughest KJ question
we
had yet?
Dean in Tacoma. Yeah. Congratulations, hey. Dean.
Wow. What's up, Dean?
The Cardinals on the 16th.
All-timer. There you go. Nice job, Dean.
Congrats.
Jameis Winston. Where's Jameis on that list of quarterbacks who you fear? Was he high or low on that list?
I'm going to say this. You're not going to do that to me.
Nope.
He's trying to set me up.
I'm not. Right on the way out. See how he does it, KJ?
He's
right
trying to set me
final
up.
Final seconds.
Jameis got
you.
Better as the year went on.
Okay.
But yeah. God, he got better. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it at that.
He's improving. That's a nice thing. You know who you got to listen to? Seriously. I shouldn't tell, KJ this.
He's right on everything.
No,
listen to him.
No, you should listen to Mike Blauer's Call Mariner Games, and you will learn how to criticize without saying anything critical.
Okay.
He's great. Seriously, and I say that with reverence. I love Mike. Blow is one of the all-time greats. And
I can't do it.
No, Brock's terrible at this. Yes. But Blow's really good at it. He has a really nice way of saying, like, hey, probably wants that one back. Right? Like, it's a nice way of sort of putting himself in the moment because he played the game, obviously, at an extremely high level. And letting you know that wasn't the ideal way to handle it, but that, you know, he's not going
to
just take a
notes.
Shot at the
I
guy.
I take notes. I'd be wanting to say some stuff.
Or you could just take shots. That's more fun. That's what I do.
Hey, KJ, are these Seahawks going to be 3-2, man? Can you imagine if they come back from New Orleans, back-to-back 10 a.m. trips, a team that everybody thought, a lot of the pundits, worst in the league, worst roster, 31st, 32nd. If they come back from New Orleans and Geno plays great and they're 3-2, conversation starts changing. Mm,
that would be very nice. And I'm going to say this. New Orleans, it's tough to play at. That defense, they have some guys over there. And so this is going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. When the defense plays better, I believe the Seahawks will come out with a victory.
Good stuff. Well, that's a full hour with KJ Wright. Hope you enjoyed it once again. It definitely goes too quickly. KJ, thanks for putting up with my stupidness, and thank you for listening to Brock. And
Pop, pop, pop.
Shock and shit.
Thanks for teaching us a little bit today. It was a lot of fun.
My pleasure.
We'll be right back. As I said, Logan Gilbert coming up at 9:30. It's Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports on 710. This hour is driven by Wastecar Ford.
Just to confirm what KJ said there, we have a cut of the late, great John Clayton interviewing Pete Carroll from the Combine, and he plays a little piano for us.
And joining us right now with the piano is Pete Carroll. You going to play this one? That's pretty good.
What do you want to know?
All right. Now that you got the music going.
You want me to bring you on home?
Yeah, listen. Bring it on home. Take it to the bridge.